All right. I need you to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Worshiping this morning about the blood and the blood of Jesus spilt for you and for me. Father, given us everything we need to live a godly life, holy life. I was thinking second song, and how Hebrews chapter 10 talks about people who continually, willingly go after sin. And what he says there has something I've been really meditating on over the last, actually several days, maybe several weeks. Talks about a judgment of setting aside the law of Moses. But then he says something that I just really quickened into my soul, and that is how much more severe a punishment that we would treat so lightly the blood of the covenant by continuing willfully in sin by trampling on the blood of Jesus. He says that. He says, if we keep doing what we want to do and we don't walk after him and we say we know him, we have trampled under the blood of Jesus. Right on it. Willfully doing our thing, going after what we want to go after. And I'm thinking we're praising God today for nothing but the blood. And how valuable is that blood spilt for us 2,000 years ago, because it's the only way to him. Jesus is the only way to God. There is nothing else in this life that can get you to God but Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, which is his blood. Amen. Yeah. And so when I'm sitting here thinking about this, and I think about just the season that I'm in right now in pastoral ministry, Of folks coming just week after week right now for the last 7 weeks and walking them through prayers of deliverance, prayers of repentance, prayers of forgiveness, and they're finding freedom. Because I just want to say this, when the blood of Jesus was shed for you and me, and we came to believe that, we believe that the blood of Jesus, the cross, the grave, was done just for me, and we put our faith in that, and we trusted him for it. What happened? We were saved. We were redeemed by what? The blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Redeemed by the blood of Lamb. Not by silver, not by gold, not by anything of which you think is valuable, only one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus. We believe, listen, if you believe, truly believed, the Bible says you were saved on that day. And you were saved from the penalty of sin. He took the sin on the cross. We call it a penal substitution. He was substituted for us, for you, for me. Individually, we come to this place and say, oh, you did that for the world. No, you did that for me. And we believed. The Bible says that you were justified at that point, declared holy, a legal term from the advocate Jesus Christ. You were declared righteous. Now, when you looked at your life still, you knew that you still had a long way to go. But he said, listen, you are born again. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Your sin has been dealt with. Amen and amen and amen. One day, when he appears, the Bible says we will be like him. This is the salvation by which we will be saved from the presence of sin. We'll no longer have this earthly flesh. We'll no longer walk in sin, have sin, commit sin, because we will be just like him. Amen. In the meantime, what I want to suggest to you that all of Scripture says and all it speaks to, that today he is saving us from the power of sin. Where we don't have to continue to get our head beat in by the enemy. Is that the gospel? I'm going to heaven one day. Well, I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. I'm going to keep getting my head beat in by the enemy. No, I'm telling you, this is about freedom. This is what the blood of Jesus did. Purchased your salvation, saved you. The blood of Jesus redeemed. You get a new spirit. God comes into your life. The Holy Spirit comes into your life to do what? Not to lay dormant, powerless, where you, again, get your head beat in by all kinds of sin and darkness and struggle. No, he came to save you. Listen to me. And he came to save you to the utmost. Amen. Listen, I want to ask the question today. Are you believing that today? That he saved me to the utmost. And what that means is that we're on this great journey of being what? Being delivered, moving through the stuff of life, the hurts, the wounds of childhood, walking in the same forgiveness that God forgave us of. He came to save you. And he said, came to save you to the uttermost. And if you've confessed Christ, if you believed in Christ, but you just keep diving into the pit of destruction in the miry clay, you keep doing that, keep doing that, keep doing that. I got to give you a warning, and the warning is this. Do you really know him? Because my Bible says that dogs go back to their vomit and pigs go back to wallowing in the mire. I believe in all my heart that this great God does what he says he's going to do. Or he's not God. And he's come to heal you. He's come to heal your hurts. He took your pain. He took your grief. He took your failures, even the ones yesterday. And he bore them on the cross and he took them away. He took them away. And then gave you the Spirit of God. So that you can walk after him the rest of your life, not being conformed into the image of the world of which you're delivered from, but into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually died for you. When I look at this passage in John chapter 8, it is a powerful passage on freedom. And because I have, again, been walking through with people with horrible childhoods, horrible sin that they've walked in, who need freedom and need the freedom from guilt and shame and all those things that Jesus died for you and me to live in. And I want to ask the question today, do you know that God? Do you know that Jesus? Because if I'm walking people through these things and we have a group like this, I just got to tell you, there's got to be some of us in here that are really struggling with our faith, struggling in our relationship with the Lord. And I want to tell you that whoever the Son sets free will be free indeed. Not maybe, not but, not if. No, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that's what he says in verse 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "And if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine." Oh. Now, let me just say this. We're not talking about discipleship as a one person up than a Christian. Not talking about that. That kind of doctrine will not conform you to godliness. When the disciples began doing the post-resurrection thing, Holy Spirit came and they began their journey. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were called disciples. It wasn't until Antioch that they were called Christians. And it was derogatory. Called him little Christ. Look at that little Christ walking. Look at that little Christ. Ha, 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 ha. Look at that little Christ. But you know what the church decided? We like that. Because we're being conformed into his image. We're to be like Jesus. And so the Bible says the disciples, literally, I'm not going to say literally, but it's like they dropped disciples and they became little Christs. Nothing changed about their discipleship. Nothing changed about following. It's just what the world called them in an act of derision. And they said, oh, that's what we want to be like. We're not talking about, oh, I'm a Christian, or I accept Jesus as my Savior today, and then some way down the line, I confess him as my Lord. No, the Bible says you confess him, you bow down to him, and that's when you come to Jesus. Amen. Saying to these Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Wow. When I come to believe that this is a part of my salvation, it's the very centerpiece of my salvation. He comes, he pulls me out of darkness into his light, pulls me out of the pit onto the rock. He comes and removes the chaos of my life, and I get to walk in peace, giving me the Holy Spirit to empower me to be the witness, not a missionary, although that's a part, but a witness of the saving grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you know the truth, and that truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He also says, sanctify them in the truth. My word is truth. So what he's saying, you've got to abide in me. You've got to continue in me. If you know that truth, the truth will make you free. And I want to ask you, church, are you free today? Are you free from sin's power? Have the chains been removed? Has the, what I like to call the dog choke chain, that you know what I'm talking about, that, I mean, it just takes you to the place that you don't want to go. Whether it's in sin, fear, worry, selfishness and self-oriented life. It comes to set you free from that. It's the point of the cross. It's not about just a decision. No, it's about God saving you and you believing that. Has he saved you today? Have you been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? Do you know the gospel story? Do you understand that it's not by works that you can be saved? It's by the grace of God through faith. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I want you to notice what they say to ask him. They answer and say, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Wow. Don't you forget your history? How many years in Egypt were you slaves? How many years in Babylon, under Babylon rule and Persia rule, that you were in bondage and slave? You've never been enslaved to anyone? Well, let me not even just correct you there. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Truly, truly, I say to the one, to everyone. Now, this is what it is in the original language. Everyone who is committing sin, who is continuing in their strongholds, who is continuing to walk after self, who is continuing in their sin, is a slave of sin. The slave, he doesn't remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. One of the most marvelous promises of all Scripture, when we can say, oh, you mean it's not just about limping through life, walking in junk that only brings misery, that only brings heartache, that only brings just the grip of the enemy? Oh, I can be free. I can be free. When I was 27 years old, pastoring Cottonwood for the two previous years, I came to realize that I needed some freedom. And without going into the testimony, because you can find it, you know, probably once a year, without going into the depths of that, but just to be able to see, I was 27 and I was in bondage to a fear of dying young. And I didn't know what to do with it. I did not know what to do with it. It was like a choke chain. And I'm telling you, for a couple of years, I would open up a guidepost, I would open up a newspaper living section, a magazine, and I'd see some young guy, some great athlete, young guy dying of cancer. And this thing just gripped me. I didn't know what to do with it. And I heard about a guy. And I thought, I got to meet this guy. And I said it in early February, and by mid-February, I'm having lunch with him in a hotel restaurant on Interstate 10, right outside of Houston, Texas. And I tell him the story, and this is what he does to me. This is what he does to me. This is the honest truth. He pointed across the table, and he said, "You can be free, and you can be free today." Nobody ever told me that. Nobody ever told me that. 4 years of Christianity at Houston Baptist, 3 years of seminary. I can be free from that. And somehow I believed that. Walked up, led me through a couple of prayers of forgiveness to some people that I've held animosity to, asked God to remove this. I repented of it. I walked out of that grave set free. And it changed the trajectory of my life, my marriage, our children. And as I came back here to Cottonwood, to about 25 of you, 30 of you, and began just thinking about and meditating upon what the scripture says about freedom, I realized that the world was in a mess. And I want to just get to that for a moment, because you may be in a mess today. And my encouragement is, if you're in a mess, if you're in a stronghold, if you're in a sin, if your marriage is suffering from adultery, if it's suffering from pornography, if it's suffering from anger or bitterness, you can be free, and you can be free today. It's the blood of Jesus. Is it effectual? Is the blood of Jesus effectual for my salvation? If it is, it is effectual for my justification and my sanctification of being conformed into the image of Jesus to look like him as a man and a woman in life. It's good news. This is good news. But sometimes we got to get to the hard news to get to the good news. Now, I'm a sinner, separated from God. All is sin, fallen short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. In that moment, I found this good news that I could be free. And I could be free from the power of sin. Not the presence of sin, not committing sin, but practicing it, moving through it in a way that brings dishonor and no glory to God. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2 for a moment. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Wow. Because all that is in the world, watch this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But now watch this, but the one who's doing the will of God lives forever. This is what people of faith do. They live forever. They follow the will of God. Now, I know there's some of us who have gone through a prodigal season. We've made not just mistakes, but we fell headlong in sin. And Jesus came and he pulled us out of that pig pen and put us back on the rock. Amen. He'll do that for you. Matter of fact, I think if you're a believer in Christ and you are a child of God, that will happen to you. Because you're a child of God. And he's the prodigal daddy that's waiting for you to come home. And that's the beauty of this. It's the beauty of who we are in Christ. It's the beauty of being the child of God, the son of God. But I just want you to know that John is speaking to Christian churches, and he's saying, don't love the things of the world. Listen, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh. I've come to find out and come to believe through just many, many hours of counseling and pastoral ministry that the lust of the flesh usually deals with sexual sin, food issues, anything that feeds the flesh. Lust of the eyes, anything to do with greed, anything to do with covetousness, anything to do with comparison and wanting what you don't have and going after it like it's the idol of your life. Lust of the eyes. Boastful pride of life. These are the things that we deal with in people's lives that have anger and bitterness. They walk in arrogance and pride. They don't forgive. They walk in anger. They walk in murder. Boastful pride of life. You know, Adam and Eve, same thing. When she saw that it was good for food, lust of the eyes or lust of the flesh. It was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. Lust of the eyes. It was desirable to make someone wise. Boastful pride of life. You can go through the three major temptations of Jesus and find the same thing. And Jesus says, I overcame in the desert of everything that you've ever been tempted with. In the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, boastful pride of life. I said no for 40 days. I said no to the enemy, and I did that for you. So that when I die for you and I spill my blood in you and I come and live in you, I'll give you the same power to say no to the sin that destroys, that devastates. Devastates lives, it devastates marriages, it devastates families, it just devastates. Folks, this is the promise of the gospel. And I'm telling you, at 27 years old, I ran out of that grave. And I've seen hundreds upon hundreds of people through the years run out of that grave and be forever changed. Because somehow faith was birthed within them that they could be free. I've had people come back to me and said, hey, it's gone. I said, what's gone? The claw. It's like right here. The claw. And it just takes me, hooks me, and it takes me to it. There's nothing to hook to it again. The chains are gone. It's gone. That's what freedom is. That's what we're talking about, freedom. That he's come to set you free of everything that will destroy you and imprison you and chain you. Please hear this good news today. If you're an angry man, you don't have to be an angry man or an angry woman the rest. If you're a complainer, a grumbler, but by which my Bible says makes you unholy, that's what he says an unholy person is. He grumbles, he fault finds, he looks at everything negatively. She looks at everything negatively, and they wear you out. They wear you out. He's come to set us free from that. He comes to do this in my life. He comes to do this in your life. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to finish with this morning and hopefully get back to the notes next week. Hebrews chapter 12. Pursue peace, verse 14, pursue peace with all men. Now watch this. And the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Your sanctification, I know that's a big word. It's just being like Christ. It's being made holy in his sight. Not holier than thou, not doing a bunch of rules, not a bunch of legalism stuff, but you become like him. And he says, you pursue peace with all men. And I want to ask this question. It's a really important question. Is there someone in your life that you don't have peace with? Tell me, what are you doing to pursue peace with that person? He just says it. Pursue peace with all men. And then the sanctification, the holiness, the righteousness of God, by which no, without it, no one will see the Lord. In other words, it's not an option in your salvation. You're a Christian. You're a little Christ. Still a disciple, but known as a Christian. Then he says, see to it that none of you come short of the grace of God. Well, how can somebody come short of the grace of God? He says it. See to it that you don't come short of the grace of God. Now, I want to say this. The grace of God, again, the grace of God, you're saved by the grace of God. And that's a great, wonderful thought. But the Bible goes on to say in Titus that the grace of God teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live righteously, godly, and sensibly in this present age. So the grace of God, what does it do? It saves you, but then it teaches you. It instructs you to say no to sin, yes to righteousness. And then, do you remember when Paul had his thorn in the flesh? He asked three times, oh God, would you please remove this from me? And he said it three times, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient. And this is what he said, for power is perfected in weakness. Wow. So the grace of God saves you, then it instructs you, and then it empowers you to walk this life out. That's what grace does. And he says, listen, don't come short of it. Don't come short of the grace of God. Let the grace of God have its effectual work in your life. It's nothing you can do to earn it, nothing that you can do to live it out except by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. You believe him for salvation. You walk after him, walking in that righteousness, that sanctifying work. And then third, he empowers you to do it. Have I already said, you have everything you need to live a godly life. You have everything you need. But you've got to walk in it. You've got to decide it. You've got to repent of the sin and turn from the sin. You've got to say no to it. You've got to say no more to it. Not just, I'm not going to do that anymore. No more to you. Because of what Jesus promises. No more to you. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Bitterness, immorality, and I'm just going to say bitterness is lust, boastful pride of life. Immorality, lust of the flesh, and then looking at a bowl of stew, lust of the eyes, by which he traded his whole birthright for. And it was not some kind of, it was a lentil soup. You traded your birthright for lentil soup. Oh my word. Something that you will need the next day, food. He exchanged the glory of God. He exchanged the temporal. Wanted the temporal instead of the eternal. And he says, look, this grace is so powerful that it'll protect you from bitterness. It'll protect you from immorality like Esau. It'll protect you from the lust of the eyes, covetousness. That's what our great God does by his great grace. And we can praise him for it and bless him for it and run toward it while we're running from the sin, while we're running from the demon, while we're running from Satan, while we're running to Jesus through the Holy Spirit of the living God. This is the power of God. It's the power of God. And so I want to just finish this up by asking you a question. Is there a stronghold in your life that you need freedom from? You say, man, you know, and I don't know, husband, wife, man, woman, son, daughter, something that just keeps on you and you don't know what to do. And the first thing I'm going to say is you've got my number in the fold. You can call me if you don't have my number. Because I'm telling you, you can be free and you can be free today. It's the beauty and the grace of our great God and Savior that gives you a direction the rest of your life to walk in freedom and to stay free. Get free, stay free for the rest of your life. And what happens is, instead of sowing bad seed to the flesh, bad seed to your marriage, bad seed to your children, bad seed to your finances, bad seed to your parents, you're sowing good seed. And when you sow good seed, you're going to have good fruit. And if you keep doing it, you're going to have a harvest of it. But you've got to decide, by the grace of God, I'm not going to walk that way anymore. And maybe this is something, and after we have fellowship together around the tables here out in the front lawn, and we have a really good time celebrating and moving towards missions and the things that we're doing, because folks, this thing we do in missions is to go and declare what I'm declaring to you today, that you can be free from sin, you can be free from your idols, you can be free from this God that you're following that is not God. You can be free. That's what we're doing. We're going to proclaim freedom. That's what this is all about, is us being free at home and bringing freedom across the ocean where we go, or across the border where we go, or across the state line or the county line, to do what? To proclaim freedom. Because whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? When I get back on the series of the four resurrected words of Christ, where Jesus said, peace be with you, peace for all your fears, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. It's peace for your purpose. Receive the Holy Spirit. This is the power of God to do what? To go. To be Jesus to the nations, to be Jesus to our neighbor. But I can't be Jesus to my neighbor if I'm full of sin. And I want to ask the question, number one, what is it in your life that you know you are enslaved to, or that you struggle with, or your bitterness? I'm bitter towards my dad, I'm bitter towards my mom, I'm bitter toward my son, my daughter, I'm bitter toward that church. And until I forgive, until I release, I will never be free from that. But you can be free today in the name of Jesus. As you think on these things today, as you talk about them, my prayer is that you and the Holy Spirit would walk in such a way that you'll know exactly what to do. And I'm telling you this, and I'll tell it to you in a couple of weeks again. The very first thing is I'm going to hear Jesus, and I'm going to go run and make it right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run and make it right. I'm going to make it right however I can, by the power of God, the best I can. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release. And then I'm going to also ask for forgiveness. I'm telling you, you confess it, and you run to it, and God will glorify himself through you and the work that he's done and continues to do. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And I ask today for these folks that, who are people, our friends, who walk in anger and unforgiveness. They just would forgive by your power and by your grace. And then watch you work to release whatever I need to release, to cancel the debt that I think's owed me, so that I don't walk in this route anymore. And I want to thank you for how you might work. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.